Hey, everybody, welcome back to Church Online. I'm so glad you could be with us. Welcome, welcome back from wherever you are, watching your living room, driving your truck. Hey, just hanging out wherever you are. Hey, the presence of God is right there with you. I'm believing that God is going to meet you right where you are today as we dig into the power of His amazing Word. God's a great God. He's got great things in store for you. And so, hey, thank you for showing up today. That means a lot to us. So we got Nehemiah chapter 8 is we're going to focus on today. And I'm going to bring you a message that I had strong upon my heart today, just especially for you, those that are watching from home, called The Stolen Smile. The Stolen Smile. And so, sounds mysterious. Who stole my smile? No, Nehemiah chapter 8 is where we want to start. I wanted to say thank you for those of you that are not only watching, but those that have made us your unofficial official church home. We've adopted you this week. So, hey, welcome to church. We're so glad you can make it with us. Thank you to those who have supported us financially. You guys have been amazing. As you can see, our construction continues in our new building, and that's only because of your generosity and obedience and your faithfulness to give. Thank you so much for continuing to see this building just become an awesome place. I cannot wait until it's full of people that are not having to socially distance, that are not having to wear masks, but we can absolutely just go for the presence of God like only we can do. It's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to that day. But in the meantime, we make do with what we have, right? Yeah. Welcome to 6 months now. Month six of quarantine. Month six of not being able to do the things that we want. We've been so spoiled, but but I'm still glad that you're here. So welcome. If you like what you hear today, would you click the like button? Join in the conversation on that the comment section. We would love to just get to hear you and what your story is. Connect with us if you would. And then if you really like it, the ultimate compliment would be to share this message with somebody else. Every week when we see people share this on social media, it just means the world to me. And it shows that the gospel is getting out. And even though many of us can't meet together like we want to, the gospel is still going out to the ends of the earth because of people like you. So thank you for sharing that. That means the world to me. Thank you to the people that showed up here today, to our amazing tech team and all our guys working camera and famous and amazing people that we just love. Lincoln over here is on sound. I don't know if you can get a shot of him. Can somebody get a shot? If not for that guy, you wouldn't be able to hear me. He might just... No, just kidding. We're so glad. Also, my son that's running camera over here, this is actually his birthday today, so he's turning 20. I don't feel old enough to have a 20-year-old kid, but here I am, just knocking it out of the park. And then to Ashley, you guys are you're an amazing team. Thank you so much. And I know that the people that are watching online, you appreciate great tech, and these guys are doing a great job just making sure that you get to hear God's Word and be a part and connected as much as you can. So thanks for tuning in. Nehemiah chapter 8, as we get into God's Word, I wanted to just remind you that it's okay to smile. It's okay to laugh. I think when we talk about God sometimes, we tend to talk about God in hushed tones, and everybody gets all serious. And especially when people pray. Have you noticed that? When we pray, the eyebrows come down.
Come on.
And we start talking in King's English for some reason. Fairest Lord Jesus. Like, who talks that way? But as soon as we start praying, it's like, oh, just Heavenly Father right now. Like, okay. Just talk to Him. It's okay to have a sense of humor. Talk to Him. Because that's really what I want to talk about. You know, God has a sense of humor. He does have a sense of humor. You cannot tell me He doesn't, because it's evident in His creation. Like if you look at a giraffe, you can't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. Just takes a horse and like stretches that whole thing out. A sky camel, we call him a sky camel. Or even a camel itself. I mean, that's a funny looking animal. I had some pictures that I thought you might think were at least as funny as I thought they were. But check that out. Just a seal pointing an accusing finger at you. This is how I feel people are looking at me every time you go to the refrigerator during the COVID quarantine. It's like... Or how about this one?
Oh.
I mean, you can't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor when you take... It's like He takes a squirrel and just adds a dash of sexiness. You know, it's like... Let's make, is that weird? Is that weird? Is that just me?
No.
You know, or, you know... Wait. How about that one? I think I dated her one time. He just... God has a sense of humor. As a matter of fact, in His Word, in Psalm 2, it says, but the one who rules in heaven laughs. Yeah. And in case you didn't know, God is the one that rules in heaven, and He laughs. Yeah. Another scripture said He laughs at the plans of the wicked.
Yeah.
God makes fun of people. Yes, He does. Wicked people, God's like, it's so stupid. You should just do it my way. Life would be a lot easier, but here you go. You're out there just doing it. I think in this age of cancel culture, and when we're afraid to laugh or we're afraid to make fun of something because, you know, is this appropriate? Is this politically correct? We've lost our sense of humor, and we see this happening. And that 2020 has been a year where we've just forgotten to laugh. Yeah. And laughter is, remember, it's a gift from God. Yeah. Joy is a choice. Yeah. You know, God, when he created man in his image, he didn't just give us his image, but he gave us his essence too. Yeah. And I love that about God is he gives us the ability to laugh, the ability to create and to just enjoy our life. How miserable would life be if you couldn't laugh? What if every single day was the worst day of your life? You ever met people like that?
Yes.
I don't want to live that way. And it's easy for me to do because I've got tons of issues. You've got tons of issues. You got your junk. I got my junk. We all got our issues. If I think about all the things that are going wrong and the things that I don't like, I would be a man most miserable. Yeah. You ever known people that brighten up any room the moment that they walk out? Yeah. Some people, as soon as they walk out, like, oh, I can breathe because they've just lost their joy. You know, joy is part of the gifts of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's important that we remember how to laugh. Yeah. It's a big deal. And 2020 has caused many amazing people to lose their joy. And I was thinking about that as we were getting into this message today in Nehemiah chapter 8. It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. What a powerful verse. And when you look at that verse in context, which is what I want to do today, it gives us a really clear picture of what that is and what it means to have the joy of the Lord. How do we capture that back? Because I wrote it down this way. In tough times, the first thing to disappear is laughter. Yeah. It really is.
That's good.
It's the first thing that we lose. We start gritting our teeth and we start white knuckling it and we start sweating because, hey, 2020 happened and we lose our joy. We lose our laughter. We forget to smile. And in the process, we lose a very important gift, the gift of joy.
Yes. Right.
You know, we lose our joy and we have such a hard time finding it again, but joy is a choice. It's a gift from God. Laughter is important. It's a key to making it through life, because if you can't laugh, you're going to be pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Some things you just have to laugh at because there's no other choice. Like, all I can do is laugh because that's all I can do. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, when they say the joy of the Lord is our strength, in context, what has happened? The children of Israel have come back from captivity. So they've been led out. They've decided to rebuild Jerusalem. And this comes with a huge price tag. I mean, they have haters. There's fear and anxiety on every side. They're worried every day, is the government going to shut them down? Does it sound like 2020? There's all kinds of friction that's happening. And Nehemiah and Ezra, they're working as hard as they can to try to keep the people engaged and tell them, hey, keep working, keep going. You're still the people of God. Let's seize this opportunity. And finally, they get the wall rebuilt. They get Jerusalem back into some living conditions. And they say, hey, let's have our first service back. Let's have our first service as a group together inside the walls of this city that has been broken down, the walls that our forefathers had seen demolished and destroyed and burned to the ground. All of a sudden, they're all put back together again. Let's have a church service. And the Bible says that they come together after all that they've been through, and they begin to worship God. And we'll pick this up in verse 5 of chapter 8. It says, and Ezra opened up the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered him, amen. Amen. Somebody say amen right where you are. Amen.
Amen.
It says he opens up the book. They gather around him and they begin to lift up their hands and say, amen, amen, which means so be it. Yes, I agree. I agree. I agree. And as they do that, it says they were lifting up their hands and then they bowed their heads. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then he calls the Levites together with them. And it says the Levites helped the people to understand the law. That's a powerful verse there, because one of the reasons why we can't get joy is because we don't understand God's word.
Yeah.
And when you read the word of God in the wrong context, you end up losing joy. I want to show you about that in just a few moments. It says, they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and then gave the sense. I wish more churches would do that. Mm-hmm. Just let the word of God speak for itself.
Yeah.
Just read it. It speaks into our hearts right where we are. This describes not only the children of Israel's plight, but it looks a lot like 2020. They've been through a lot, and they're getting into the Word of God, and they're saying, okay, you know, whatever the Word of God says, we want to make sure that we're paying attention to it, and help me to understand this. And I hope that's your heart today as we dig into God's Word, that we could understand it, we could see it clearly.
Good.
And it says, they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And then Nehemiah, it says, he said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. You know, for them, imagine this, that it had been so long since they'd heard God's word. You know, we take it for granted that we get to have access to God's word. It's on your phone. It's on your computer. Wherever you're watching this from, you've got access to the word of God right there. And we have a tendency to take that for granted because it's always available. But it wasn't available for them. And as they hear the word of God, as they hear the covenant that God made with his people, as they hear the disobedience of their forefathers and the consequences for their sin, they just weep. They just break. Because they've been through so much. And Ezra said, mate, don't mourn or weep. This is not the right time. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine. My Baptist friends just like to skip over that scripture. But eat the fat. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear that today. Because in Texas, we have brisket. And when they say, do you want the lean or the fat?
Yeah.
Always get the fat.
Yes.
Ooh, baby, always get those. I just felt the presence of the Lord right there. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet wine. That's somebody's life verse right there. Eat the fat and drink the sweet wine. And it says, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved for, and here's that scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is where your strength comes from. He said, you're weeping, you're crying. No. This is a day of celebration. You've come through a lot. You're here. You've made it. So have some joy. Rejoice. It says, so the Levites calmed the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And I wanted to speak that to someone today.
Yes.
It's been a long 6 months.
Yeah.
You've been through a lot. God said, hey, don't be grieved. Find a reason to have joy today. Find a reason to smile. Don't let the enemy win. You're still here. You're still going. God's not finished with you yet. We have a choice to make, the choice to rejoice. Come on, somebody. And here it is. It says, don't be grieved. And all the people, it says, went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing because they understood the words that were declared to them. You know, when you understand God's word, joy comes with that. A light bulb comes on and all of a sudden you see what God wants from you, what he wants for you. You begin to walk in his purposes and his precepts and light begins to take control over your path. You understand. There's joy that comes when you have purpose in your life. There's joy that comes when you realize you're not just existing, but you have a purpose. When you clearly understand God's word, joy. Joy is the benefit. So if the joy of the Lord is our strength, like the scripture says, and we feel so weak right now, then perhaps we need to examine what has stolen our joy. I want to give you some things right here in the scripture that we can pull out. Let's just pick the number 5. I'll give you 5 things that I see in the scriptures that had stolen the joy of the Israelite people. And these are the same things that steal joy today. And I think once you understand what is stealing your joy, you'll be able to better defend against it.
Yeah.
You ever had something stolen from you? Because I have. I grew up in a not so nice area of town. You know, I live in Longview, Texas now. And the area that we live in is very, very low in crime. It's pretty awesome. I love not having to worry that I lock my windows, but that wasn't always the case. And I remember one time I had bought a new stereo system in my truck, and that's, for those of you that have a little bit of white in your beard, ladies, then you know that sometimes back in the day, we used to put, you know, expensive car stereos. And I was so happy because I had this tiny little truck, but I had an Alpine system with a remote, and it literally was like, you know, right here that I could control it, but I had a remote. So I'd stand and power on, volume up, and it's like this far away from it, but I had a remote. And my heart just sank when I walk out of my apartment one day and I see that my back window was busted out. I'm like, oh, please don't take my radio. And they sure did. They stole my tunes, stole all of my CDs. Guys, if you don't know what CDs is, ask somebody with some gray in their beard. And I just remember feeling violated, feeling like, okay, come on now. And they didn't even steal the whole thing. They just stole the face off of it. Like, are you serious? Like, what? Who stole my radio? A crackhead. A crackhead stole my radio. Didn't even realize that. Hey, you didn't even get the whole thing. And I'm left holding nothing but the remote. Like, I think I might still actually have that remote somewhere. I just kept it hoping that someday we'd find a way to make it work again. But if you've ever had something stolen from you, you know what it feels like.
Yeah.
You feel violated. You feel like you take it personal. And this is what's happened in 2020. The enemy has absolutely stolen the joy of God's people. And it's time to smile again. What are the things that steal our joy? And I want to show you this, that number one, heartaches and hard times are thieves of joy. You might want to write that down. Heartaches and hard times are thieves of joy. It sounds like a country song, doesn't it? Yeah. Heartaches and hard times are thieves of my joy. Stole my dog and my wife. She ran off with another boy. That's not, I don't know. That's all I can think of right now. But it's true. The first thing that you lose in hard times or in a difficult situation is your smile, is your joy. You just lose it. But it doesn't have to be. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of scriptures that tells us, no, just commands us to rejoice even in tough times. Now, would God tell us to do something that we weren't empowered to do? No, God's not cruel. He's telling you it's a choice. Heartaches, hardships, they're thieves of joy. Proverbs 17 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. It's good medicine. And actually, there's so many scientific things that we get into with the health benefits of a cheerful heart, a smile, things that it releases endorphins and all kinds of wonderful things, wonderful benefits of just smiling. But the rest of the scripture goes on to say, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And man, if there ever was a scripture for 2020, it would be that one. A broken spirit that just saps my strength. You know, the children of Israel had come through captivity and hardship. They'd worked hard. And they'd had people that threatened to kill them while they were doing all this. And Ezra steps up and he and Nehemiah are like, hey, guys, it's over now. You're safe. We did it. We're there. You're still alive. We've got a reason to praise the Lord. Let's rejoice here. Let's get something to eat. Let's have a party because we're still going. We're still here. We made it a lot farther than we thought we would ever hope to go. We're here. We've made it. Yes. You know, they didn't recognize how far they had come and they were kind of shell-shocked. And I see that in a lot of God's people today. They don't realize how far they've come. But you've learned a lot in 2020. You've come a long way. Remember that in the old cigarette ads? Nobody remembers those? You come a long way, baby. Remember that? I remember reading that when I was a tiny kid. Like, Mom, what does that mean? Like, you'll find out when you're older. But I still don't know. You know, life is tough, but it's even tougher when you have no joy. And I know a lot of people that have just absolutely been decimated. You know, 2020 has been a year where we've seen, statistically speaking, the numbers for suicides and depression, mental health issues have just gone through the roof. I saw a phone center, like a call service for a suicide hotline. Their sales, their calls increased by over 1,000% the past 4 months with people reaching out needing help because there's a lack of joy. We've got anxiety going off a global level, but the Bible tells us that a cheerful heart is good medicine. When you have a broken spirit, it just saps your strength. David says this in Psalm 42. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'm going to put my hope in God. I will praise Him again. I will praise Him again. I'm grateful that joy isn't something that you lose and can never find it again. Thankfully, God is an again God. Well, He did it before, He can do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He is the source of our joy, we may not have it today, but I can get it again.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm. You know what else is a thief of joy? Here's number two, regret. Regret is a thief of joy. You know, and as they listened to the words that they were reading out of the covenant, out of God's law, they began to experience regret. They began to see all the things that they had lost because of the disobedience of their parents, the captivity, the things that they had to battle through because they just didn't get it. And you know, when you read God's word without the filter of Jesus Christ, you're going to get yourself into a crazy place.
Yeah.
You know, David knew this. He knew that his sin brought regrets. And we have a great chapter, Psalm 51, where David begins to pour out his heart to God. He says, God, I've lost my joy because of my sin. He begins to ask God for forgiveness because regret is a thief of joy. He says this in verse 8 of Psalm 51. Lord, let me hear joy and gladness. Let me just hear it. If I can't experience it, let me just get around it. I want to hear it. And he says, let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Lord, hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me, he says, the joy of my salvation. That's where real joy comes from, by the way, in case you didn't know. You know, happiness depends upon a lot of outside circumstances, but joy is an inside job. Joy comes from having Jesus forgive you of your sins. As a matter of fact, Psalm 32 says, happy are those whose sins are forgiven. That's real happiness. And some people are wondering why they spend their whole life and can't find happiness. It's because they're full of regret. They don't know what it's like to have those regrets covered once and for all by the amazing grace of God. You know, Jesus came to pay for our regrets and to cover our sins with a blanket of grace, to bring joy back in the place of our deepest mistakes. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful because without him doing that, there's not a whole lot of reason to live. There's not a reason to get up tomorrow morning to keep trying. But thank you that he is an amazing God that covers regrets. And he did it with the blood of Jesus. Regret is a thief of joy. Let me just beg you, don't spend this year, 2020, filling it with regrets, because 2021 is coming. It's going to have problems of its own. Right. Let's just be honest. Every year has good times and bad times. But 2021 is coming. You don't want to be paying for the regrets of 2020 in 2021, right? So let's just think about that. Don't waste this year filling it with regret. Let's find the joy. Here's the third thing. Misunderstandings are a thief of joy. Let somebody that's married say amen. It's okay. Misunderstandings are a thief of joy. You know, and this is the key to this chapter, is that they read the word of God and misunderstood it. And so Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levites says they helped the people to understand what the word of God really meant. And when the understanding was there, people began to rejoice. You know, this is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you just read the words that are on this page, especially the Old Testament, and you don't know that the story all points towards Jesus, you're going to walk into some misery, because it's the story of one failure after the other. It's the story of the old covenant, the old law, which couldn't save us, which no person could live up to, which nobody could do. One theologian said it's like a mirror, and it shows you the dirt on your face, but you can't clean your face with a mirror. It's just impossible. And if you only read the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get confused and lead you to a place where you're going to be robbed of your joy. But when you understand through the power of the Holy Spirit where it's taken you, you understand the story of grace. When you see the whole thing as the Holy Spirit begins to reveal it to you, there's a joy that comes because you understand it. You get it. You see that God has this thread of grace working from beginning to end, this plan for the salvation of mankind because of his great love for people like me and you. What an amazing God that we serve. I wrote it down this way. When you read God's word without understanding of who Jesus is, you're left with the burden of God's standard of perfection being on you. That's a tough place to be. I love that it says that they explained it to the people and their misunderstandings were cleared up and they began to receive the joy of the Lord. You know, the word always points to Jesus because he is our reason for joy. And when you understand that the word points to Jesus, not to you, it points to Jesus, that's a better way to read it. It's about him. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, it talks about the shepherds that were following the star. And it says this in verse 10. It says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Why? Because the star led to Jesus. Anything that leads to Jesus, I can find joy in it. If it can lead me, if I can just find Jesus, there's joy there. And I've learned to look at whatever can lead me to Jesus throughout my day. If I'm needing joy, let me find Jesus. Lord, where are you at? What are you in? Because if I can find you in my day, I can find joy. Yes. This is good for somebody. Yes. It's better than you amening me from home. Misunderstandings are a thief of joy, are they not?
Yes.
And here it is. Number four, a bad attitude is a thief of joy. Now, don't elbow anybody next to you. Pastor Chris always elbows. He's preaching to you. But it's the truth. When you choose to have a bad attitude, you've given joy no chance. But it's a choice. I saw this in Psalm 100. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence, it says, with singing. You know, God is very specific about how he wants to be served. You ever had kids that you told them to do something and they just do it kind of begrudgingly? You know, God is very specific about how he wants to be served. Yes. He says, I want to be served with gladness.
Yes.
I want you to find joy in serving. We don't think of things that way. You don't think of serving someone else being a joyous thing. But here, God's word is pretty clear. This is how he wants us to serve him.
Yes.
He wants us to come before him with singing. Glad songs. Not woe is me. Nobody knows. This is my worship to you, Lord. The trouble I've seen.
Come on.
No, not like that.
Come on.
Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, the people recognized how much they had lost, and it affected their attitude. And in case you didn't know, Israel has this long-running relationship with a bad attitude. It had become not just a choice, but it became a stronghold, a generational curse. And the same is still being said for some of us today. That bad attitude is contagious, and it gets into your DNA, and it begins to affect your children and your children's children, and it just becomes a generational curse. It robs us of joy. It robs your family of joy. It robs your children of their ability to find joy. You know, they could find something wrong with any situation. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15. It says, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. You can find it if you're looking for it. Mm-hmm. If you can't find trouble in your day, you can come look in mine, because I promise you, I've got plenty of trouble. Try pastoring a church. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of things that I could look at and say, you know what? This is stupid. This is dumb. I could do anything else and be happier. But this anything else is not what God's called me to do. I have to make a choice. For the despondent, every day, it says, brings trouble. But for the happy heart, life is a continual feast.
Man,
sounds like a pipe dream sometimes. Like, is it, seriously?
Yeah.
But is God's word true or not? Life can be a continual feast if there's some joy in my heart. Find Jesus, find joy. It's about your relationship with him. It's about Jesus. I don't want to just go through my life hoping that some miracle will happen while I somehow find happiness. When God's word is so very clear of where it's at.
Yeah.
And actually better than where, it's who. It's who.
Yeah.
Who has joy? Jesus. He is joy.
Yes.
He's the joy of my salvation.
Yes.
And this is where joy comes from. You know, I can break the curse of my attitude by choosing joy.
Yeah.
I can.
That's right.
One of the things that I've hoped from the very beginning that our church would be known for is great joy. Because so many times I've visited churches, like I'm sure many of you have as well. Not this church, ever. Not this church. But you've gone to a church where you're thinking, my gosh, were these people baptized in prune juice?
what?
But you're thinking, why in the world would I choose Jesus here?
Yeah.
If Jesus makes you look and act and behave that way, why would I choose that?
That's right.
And we have this negative view of so many spiritual things, and it's just not in God's DNA that way. He laughs.
Yeah.
He smiles. And you can too. Even in 2020.
Yeah.
A bad attitude is a thief of joy. And then I'll close it out with this. Number five, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
That's actually a quote from President Teddy Roosevelt, who was known far and wide for his fantastic attitude. Now, there are things that you might not like about his personal life, but he was considered probably the happiest president. The guy went through a lot, but he knew where to find joy. He could find the silver lining in every cloud. And I love that we don't have to just find a way to make ourselves happy. We don't have to just paint a smile and fake it till you make it. The Bible tells us where the true source of joy is. It also tells us what happens when we compare. You know, that's a Teddy Roosevelt quote, but actually, if you get back to the source of it, it's a quote from the Apostle Paul. And he talks about in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, we're not trying to compare myself with anybody else. When people compare themselves with other people and they're measuring themselves by themselves, it's just not wise. It's not wise to do that. And you'll find that in 2020, it's really easy to get on social media and compare your life to somebody else's highlight reel.
Yeah.
It's really easy to look at what they're doing and say, man, I'm stuck in a house and they get to do this. Or they got to go on vacation and we're stuck here. And they got a raise or they got their stimulus check and we're still waiting for ours. You start comparing your life to somebody else and the things that they put out, which, by the way, is never the whole story.
That's right.
But you start comparing those things and it just robs you of all joy. It robs you of peace. It robs you of contentment. And Paul says that is not wise. There's not wisdom in that. Hey, you've got to be responsible for your walk with God. It's your walk. And you're not going to stand before God and give an account for anybody else's walk.
That's good. That's
right. You're going to stand before Him and give an account for yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can find joy in the midst of 2020, you can find it anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can find it. It's there. Why? Because we know who has joy. Jesus is our source of joy. So if I can find Jesus, I can find joy.
Yeah.
Comparison is the thief of joy. You know, it would have been easier. It would have been really easy for these guys as they're gathering back in Jerusalem to look at the sins of their fathers and say, hey, you know what? We're going to end up making the same mistakes. This is what I think their attitude might have been as they're reading the old law and realizing how many times that their forefathers violated God's law. And they're weeping because they're like, we're going to do the same thing. And all this is for nothing. All the work that we've done is for nothing. You know, Elijah had the same attitude. In one chapter, he calls down the fire from heaven. The next chapter, he's in depression mode. He's sitting on the backside of the desert. And God begins to speak to him. Says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah says, look, I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm going to make the same mistakes they've made. I'm full of fear. I'm ready to die. And he tells God, just kill me now. I'm going to make the same mistakes that my dad did. I'm going to make the same mistakes my grandfathers did. I'm no better. Because comparison is the thief of joy. Imagine being able to call fire down from heaven. I don't know about you, but I'd have been rubbing it into some people's faces. Did you see what just happened? I'm about to call fire down from heaven right now. We're going to have a barbecue. Imagine the joy in that moment as the whole country begins to turn towards the Lord because of what happened. And here he is, like, I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better. Comparison is a thief of joy. Have you been comparing your life to somebody else's? Or for Christians, do you compare your gifts to somebody else's? Do we compare our moments, your kids, your bank account to somebody else's bank account? You know, they say the grass is always greener on the other side, but I found that a lot of the times it's because they water it. And sometimes it's because they use a lot of manure to get it that green. You never know. The bottom line is, why don't you just take care of your own grass? Why don't you take care of yours? Comparison is a thief of joy. And then on down in verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 8, it says this, from the days of Joshua until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like this. Now that's a party. They made the choice to get out of their mood, to get out of their attitude, to get out of their regrets, to get out of their condemnation and fear and anxieties and all the things that they were dealing with and say, hey, wait a minute. That's stolen my joy. I'm making a choice to rejoice. And it says, until that day, they had not celebrated like that one. It says, and their joy was very great. I'm here to tell you today, your joy can be very great too. It's up to you. If you know Jesus, you know joy. He is there. Joy is a He. And if He's living inside of you, all you have to do is say, Lord, would you give me some joy? Help me to find you in this moment. I choose to rejoice like your word tells me that I can. You can make the choice to rejoice. If it rhymes, it must be true. Johnny Cochran told us that. That's a bad joke. We're going to breeze right past. Make the choice to rejoice. In Psalm 16, it says this, you make known to me, Lord, the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David is writing those words to God. At your right hand, Lord, are pleasures forevermore. You know, who is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God? Scripture tells us it's Jesus. And at God's right hand is Jesus. And that's where we find pleasures forevermore. In the presence of Jesus. My friend, how's your walk with Jesus? Because I would venture a guess, if 2020 has been a year, anything close to what I've had, it's been very difficult to find joy. Very difficult, because we've walked through hard times. But take a moment, if you would, and breathe, and recognize that you're still here. You've made it. You didn't fall by the wayside. And in spite of all the things that you've walked through, you're still here. And Nehemiah and Ezra, the Levites, and Jesus Himself would tell you, hey, smile. Smile. Because this isn't how it ends. And this is not the end for us. We've got something waiting for us that's powerful. It's amazing. God doesn't waste pain. He's not going to waste yours. His joy is complete and can be complete in us if we just let him do it. As we finish up today, I want to just pray for those who have had maybe a tough season. And I'm wondering if you could just take today and make a determination that no matter what my season has looked like, no matter what 2020 has brought me, there's a great deal of pain. I wonder if you could just say, hey, for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to choose to rejoice. I'm going to turn on some worship music. I'm not going to waste this day. I'm not going to continue to just let myself find something to be despondent about. Stop looking for it. Start looking for Jesus instead. Just take 10 minutes and try it. Either God's word is true or it's not. Either God is true or he's a liar. His word tells us very, very clearly that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you're needing some strength today, choose joy.
Yes.
Choose joy. I want to pray for you right where you are. If you're needing some joy, do what I like to do. And I like to just open up my hands when somebody prays for me, and I set them on my knees as if someone were handing me a gift. It's not weird. You're already having church. You're probably not even wearing pants. Don't talk to me about weird. It's okay. Just put your hands on your knees. And I want to pray for you. Father, I know that many of the people that are watching this right now have walked through one of the roughest seasons they have ever had. But in spite of all those things, Lord, you're still on the throne. You still have a plan. You still have a purpose for our lives. We're not done yet. So we can choose to rejoice in the fact that you're not done. You're an again God. If you brought us joy before, you can do it again. And so we choose today to try it your way. I pray that you would restore to them the joy of their salvation. Lord, I pray if there are sins that need to be forgiven, that they'd be forgiven right now, that they would just ask for your forgiveness and that your joy would be their strength once again. I pray for supernatural strength, supernatural joy to be theirs. In Jesus' name, amen. One last question before we go. Maybe you've never had your sins forgiven. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. My friend, I want to show you how to do that. It's very, very simple. You can do it right where you are. You know, somebody led me in a prayer one time that changed my life, and I would love to have the honor of doing the same for you. If you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to give you joy, to live on the inside, to forgive you of your sins and show you what joy is all about, pray this prayer with me right where you are. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. Bring your joy. Be the Lord of my life. I give myself to you right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, if you just pray that prayer with me, I am so incredibly proud of you. Would you do me a favor? Would you text me? Text the words, I prayed, all one word, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D. Text us to 94090. I would love to connect with you and maybe send you some things that would help you understand what just happened on the inside of your heart. And better yet, what to do next. God has a powerful plan for your life. And let me help you figure out what that is. It'd be my pleasure. For everybody else, would you do me a favor? Would you share this video with your friends? People need to hear about the joy of the Lord and where to find it. There's lots of misunderstandings and things that have happened to make this a hard year for people. Let's show them something different. Yes. Share this video if you would. For everybody else, I love you. Can't wait to see you again soon, hopefully soon. Don't quit. Don't give up. You're still good. You're still here. You're still breathing. Smile. God's still on the throne. God bless you as you have an amazing day. I love you. Peace out.